Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Well, praise God. Wasn't that a wonderful answer to prayer? The rainstorm during Halloween, all the way across the country. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for answering our prayers, saving a lot of little ones from being captured by these crazy sick perverts. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't you feel like that, saints? That's exactly what we prayed for, wasn't it? Yep. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You know, people should be known by their friends and their enemies, right? Look at the people who are on the left. All the Satanists are on the left. The witches are on the left, totally trying to destroy this administration, the Trump administration, and anybody that sticks up for them. And of course, they lost a big one there on Halloween. Praise be to God. Let me say something about the witches pronouncing a curse on Halloween on Trump and the people. Didn't we tell you for so long now that God is able to bring the curse at the Passover on the exact people he wants it to go on? And as he did in Egypt, the Passover passed over the Israelites who had the blood on their doorposts. Now, that's not all Christians that have the blood on their doorposts, because a lot of them don't walk under the blood. They think it's fine to walk in sin. Okay, so, and their preachers are the same way. So I'm telling you, the Lord's going to take out a bunch of those people, and he's going to use Babylon to do it. But he's going to destroy Babylon. That's the word of God. He's going to destroy Babylon. So anyway, the witches agreed, and they, pronounced their curse. And let me say that I believe God is in that in a way, and that the devil always is the one that administers the curse, for goodness sake. And this is the devil's people. And so, but they can't put a curse on somebody that's not under a curse. Jesus became accursed for us. And he bore our sins so that we could be delivered from the curse. But that curse is still there. Deuteronomy 28 is still there. The curse is still there. It's still taking out Christians all over the place. But you don't have to live under that curse. But now they pronounce this curse. And what that curse can do now is it can take out the apostates among God's people. That's what it can do. Or the people that don't, or in some cases, we're just the people that don't know we have a Passover lamb. So it can take out exactly, it doesn't matter who started it. I'm convinced that that plague has already started overseas, and it's coming this way, okay? But it doesn't make any difference. It can't take out those that are not under the curse. So when they pronounce the curse, they're pronouncing the curse on apostates. Do you see? And even though the deep state's behind it, it's going to take out their best friends in Christianity and others and in the government. They've shot themselves in the foot. So, I mean, you know that the faction in the government and the faction in the church is the same people. They all belong to the dragon. They're all seeking to devour the man-child. You remember the man-child was a twofold parallel revelation of Trump and the man-child in the church. They're trying to impeach the man-child, Trump, and they're trying to impeach the man-child in the church. They've been doing that, okay? And the Lord told us there was a perfect parallel. I see it. I know it. But let me tell you, when the Lord told us who Trump was, that he was Cyrus, which was a long time ago, we began to say he was going in there And we began to back him and know that God was going to use him in a mighty way. He's not going to fail. This is not going to happen. There are people out there that are Christians that say he's going to fail. And it's all going back to Obama. There's quite a bit of them out there. But I'm going to tell you, they don't know what they're talking about. We will find out. I'll just read a little bit to you and try to make a few points concerning this. But I'm calling this the impeachers will be impeached. Okay. So I'm going to start in Isaiah 44. Verse 28. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. He shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built. Do you know that they're still building over there? They did not have the favor under Obama, but they do have it under Trump, and they're doing things that they couldn't have done otherwise. And it's basically stopped their faction dead in their tracks. You can see that. She shall be built, and of the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Also, of course, a parallel revelation there is the bride is Jerusalem. And the temple is going to be built. It's been much destroyed under Obama and Hitlery, but now it's going to be built. I'm telling you. And remember, that was at Cyrus's, you know, he put forth the money to do this, you know. Very interesting. And that's in the works now. So thank you, Father, for doing that. And then 45:1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. That guy's anointed, let me tell you. Not to be a great preacher or a great teacher or anything like that. He's anointed to lead with the grace of the Lord to destroy the faction that is against him. These criminals have run this government for so many years. Perverts. Criminals. And the Lord is using him to take them down, and he will not fail. To his anointed, to Cyrus, whose hand I have holden. He's given him quite a backbone too, let me say. To subdue nations before him. That's happening. Especially this one. It's happening. This is spreading throughout the earth. And I will loose the loins of kings to open the doors before him. Yes, he has. They have failed and he has won. And the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the rough places smooth. In other words, he's going to take care of all the bumps in the road. Don't pay any attention to Congress. Don't pay any attention to anybody out there. Just pay attention to God's word. This is Cyrus. He is destroying Babylon. Let me say something. Babylon in the United States is the deep state more than anything else. When God says he's going to destroy Babylon and any kind of authority that it has in the world, this is happening. He is taking down the deep state all over the world. And he's taking down their money, and he's breaking up their sexual perversion parties and setting the children free, the little girls free. What a bunch of perverts have taken over this nation. Saints, keep on praying. Keep on believing. God's going to use your prayers. He's going to do this thing. Okay. You just keep on praying and believing. It will be done. Just like in Revelation 12, the saints prayed and believed. And the dragon was cast down out of heaven. The one that was trying to destroy the man child, just like they're trying to destroy the man child parallel, right? He said he'd make the rough places smooth. I will break in pieces the doors of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. This is talking about when Cyrus was coming to take down Babylon, how he diverted the Euphrates River, which was a pretty neat feat in itself. He evidently found a good place in the land to be able to do that, and he diverted the river, which was going underneath the gates that went across the river where Babylon was on both sides of the river. And it, the water dropped down, and his armies went in underneath the bars. Then there were bars on both banks that were unlocked, just like it says here. And he walked into the city and took it. And he took it and killed that king. Now, if he ain't dead yet, he will be, I can tell you. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness. They have hidden treasures, and the hidden treasures of secret places. He has found out trillions of dollars and brought them back into the government, the real government this time. The other government is dwindling. And their banksters are dwindling, you know. There's one coming in, one going out. It's happening constantly. And this is a miracle from God. Pretty soon, everybody's going to know it. A lot of people don't know what's happening. They're not paying any attention. They're listening to the mainstream media who are just, you know, putting everybody to sleep. But it's happening. And the mainstream media is going down, too. You just keep on praying, keep on believing. It's going to happen. And he's finding out these hidden riches. Yes, he is. That you might know that it is I, the Lord, who call thee by thy name, even the God of Israel. If people haven't figured this out yet, they're pretty dense. Pretty dense. Now, I don't expect the stupid demons to believe this, or the people that have the stupid demons to believe this. Their demons is their God, and it makes them mighty confident. I've saw this since the beginning of our own faction, like back around 2011. They're always confident in what they can do, and they can never do it because they're stupid to the core. And the Lord did this to them, and I'm going to show it to you. I'll prove it to you in just a few minutes. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, who did he do this for? It's for us, right? Israel, my chosen, I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Well, this is true. This is true. He's a conservative, and he's a patriot, but not necessarily Christian. I don't think it'll keep on being that way. I think he's easing his way right on in. Though thou hast not known me, though, and that's true. And I am the Lord, and there is none else besides me. There is no God. I will gird thee, though thou hast not known me. No, there's nobody giving him a backbone like that. We've never had anybody in politics like that that didn't kowtow to the media. Never. And we've never had anybody that ever lasted who came against the media. Okay? That they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none besides me. Yes, you know what? This story is going to bring in a lot of people into the kingdom. Okay. I am the Lord. There is none else. I form the light, create the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. Yes, you are. Thank you, Father. Now, let me point out to you that from the beginning, the Lord has revealed to us who the Edomites are. The Edomites in the scriptures, and you know, you can always find out who's who in the scripture by what they do. The Edomites in the scriptures always turn traitor against Jacob, Israel, the people of God, the chosen people of God. The Edomites, of course, were the children of Esau. The Lord said, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Is he talking there about natural people? No, because anybody can become a Christian. Anybody, any nationality can become a Christian. Okay, but we know what the type and the shadow is. The Edomites have always fought against God's people. And they've also always sided with the beast. They've always become a part of the beast. They promoted Herod, an Edomite king, over the people of God. Yes. And so the Edomites are those who always hate their brother. They're a traitor to their brother. They're thieves. They're liars. They always join with the enemy. And from what I can see, they're fornicators. All of them are fornicators. Okay. Now, we know there's a parallel in the faction in the government to the faction in the church. They do the same thing. You know, when I went through years of this with this faction nipping at my heels all the way, lying, bringing up stupid stuff that was not ever a sin. Only in their minds did they make it a sin. Same thing they're doing against Trump. Exact same thing they're doing against Trump. And they perverted and twist everything to make it mean something it doesn't, and everything, you know, it's on and on and on. Same thing they're doing with Trump. They're trying to impeach him because they think they're going the same way that Elijah Cummings went. That's right. They are taking him out one right after another. And they know they're guilty, and they know they're caught, and they think that they have to do this now. So they've even, you know, for goodness sake, done things that have never, ever been done in the history of our government. You know, they won't even permit the Republicans a place at the table to make all these decisions and to, you know, see the evidence, which they don't have. They never have had evidence. You can, when they say they got evidence, you know they're lying. You know they're lying. I know that from history. They're always lying. Always. Okay. So I'm talking about from my history with the church. So when these people came along, which is more recent, I saw the same demons in them as I've been fighting with for years. The same ones. The same ones. I knew it was. There was no doubt in my mind. They were stupid, just like them. They come up with every kind of false accusations with no proof. They don't think they even need any proof to accuse anybody. They don't think they need any. It's so because they say it's so. Okay? So that's the Edomites. That's who they represent. They represent what's going on in our government and in the division in our government, and that's what's going on in the division of the church right now. Now, what's God going to do with the Edomites? Well, I'll show you. And I'll tell you what, it's telling you what's going to happen, just exactly like I just read to you. It's going to tell you the exact same thing. Babylon in America is going to be destroyed. Now, after Cyrus conquered Babylon, it was still called Babylon, but he put his king there, right? It was still called Babylon. They didn't change that. But the enemy, let me say the last king of Babylon was the one who tried to impose his demonic religion on the people, and the people were rebelling. Well, what did Obama do? Exactly the same thing. A bigger liar there's never been. Well, maybe. Let's see. I'm going to read to you Ezekiel 34, and we're going to see if this holds true, and then I'm going to share with you some revelations, okay? Let's see. Ezekiel 34. Start in verse, I will say, 22. Therefore will I save my flock. They shall no more be a prey. That's true. About the right wing has been a prey to the left wing. And it's true about the right and the left in the church too. That's the sheep and the goats, as you know. It's the same thing. They've been a prey. They've stolen. They've lied. They've accused. They fornicated and accused the opposite side of doing the exact same thing that they're doing. They've done all these things. But you know what? Just like the government's got the proof, I got the proof. Therefore, I will save my flock. They shall no more be a prey. I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now, let me say that the Trump man-child parallel fits right here. Now, you can put Trump right there, because what he is in the political realm, the man-child is in the spiritual realm. Okay. Even my servant David, he shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. Now, this ministry is about to be anointed. Not that they're not here shepherding now. You know that David was shepherding before he was anointed. And you know that Joseph was doing it before he was anointed, before they cast him into prison, you know. And he came out as the leader, right? And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and I will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. Oh, is he ever doing that? He's taking them out. And not like he's about to take them out, but he is taking them out. And they shall dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Let's see. I'm going to scoot on down here a little bit. Okay. I think you got my point. Okay. When you go down to 35, do you remember who conquered the Edomites? It was David. Now you see David is king here again. And what did, if David follows in the footpaths of the original David, which he will, he's going to conquer the Edomites, because that's what David did. Okay. So now you see David's been anointed king here, you know. Then you go down to 35. What is it about? It's about God's destruction of the Edomites. His total destruction of the Edomites. So let me just read you little bits and pieces of this, okay? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir. That was their capital of their Edom. And prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against thee, O Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee a desolation and an astonishment. Now, this is the capital of Edom. Who is the capital of our Edom? Yeah, you got it. The house. And the people in the Senate. And the people in, you know, all, you know, these people running for president. All these people. These are those people we can tell. You, let me say this. When you see somebody's crazy and they got the stupid demons, when they never had them before, that's somebody that is partaking of the same thing as the rest of these perverts out there. I'm telling you, they're into the witchcraft. They're into, well, you saw her with the bracelet on, right? Nancy with the bracelet on with the bullet on it, right? Biden saying that they're going to do something on the 17th, but it came out of his mouth not the way he wanted it to come out of his mouth. And then on the 17th, guess what? They found a man there, an ISIL member there with a bulletproof vest on and a gun and an aerosol can, which they haven't revealed what was in it, but also a breathing apparatus. What was he going to do? He was going to knock people out on the way out, you think? I don't know. But he was definitely there to shoot somebody. And these people, they're kamikazes. They don't mind going in there and killing themselves, you know, to make themselves a hero and have their 70 virgins, for goodness sake. And anyway, I will make thee a desolation and an astonishment, he says. A desolation and an astonishment. So when you see people like this, that is a byproduct of Satanists and Satanism. Our faction's the same way. They can say their God is anybody they want to, but I'm telling you, it's Satan. Okay. And it's very clear because they don't mind at all any kind of perversion and fornication and whatever. They're into it big. Since the beginning, we've discovered that. Okay. So theft, not a problem. Lies, not a problem. Conscience, not there. Just not there. These people don't have a conscience in the government either. Look at these people, what they're doing, you know. Yes, we'll decide behind closed doors who's guilty and who's not. And we'll leak out what we want to leak out. And no, you can't question our people, our witnesses, you know. Who would ever think that you could get away with doing that in America? Well, they're not going to get away with it. They're just not going to get away with it. Not because man is going to stop them, but because God is going to stop them. Let me point something out to you. We've had some scenarios in the Bible that the Lord has pointed out to us over and over and over to tell us what's going to happen here. There's the Red Sea, which is, believe it or not, connected with the Edomites. There's the Red Sea where the enemy in the beginning seems to have lost, and then they came back attempting to drag God's people back under their authority or kill as many of them as they could. And God supernaturally took them down. He took them down. The same thing was true of the Northern Army in Joel chapter 2. That was the bride there in Joel chapter 2. That was Jerusalem. They came against the bride after conquering the rest of the people, bringing them under the thumb. And they came up to God's people, the bride, and they thought that they could do the same thing. But the bride was holy. And so when they cried to the Lord answered, and he smote that army supernaturally. It wasn't them, their might, or anything. Jehoshaphat, same thing. He said, this is my battle. You're not going to fight. I'll fight. Three armies came against them. There was nothing they could do. They even admitted it to the Lord. There was nothing they could do. They came to the place where they failed to bring them down. Just like we are. They failed to bring them down. But God. Then God smote the three armies. They fought against one another. They killed each other off. The Sennacherib scenario, you know, they had come up to the bride city, and they were an overwhelming army. They would have won that war, but they called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered. And again, they couldn't do nothing. They came to the place where they couldn't do anything. Then God did it. So why are all these types and shadows pointing to this, especially when God keeps giving them to us and giving them to us and giving them to us to tell us this is what's going to happen? I believe that you're going to be seeing what is going to appear to be a setback for Christianity, which, as you know, is not really Christianity, but a setback. And I've told you about the plague that we've received is coming. And I do believe it's going to come. And the sword. I've told you about the sword, shared with you about the sword that all the criminal entities underneath Obama and the deep state are going to do and try to do to Christianity in America. They've already, you know, famine was one of the things that Babylon also used to conquer the apostates. And of course they've done everything they could do to destroy the food in the United States. And, there's a plague coming that's come from, you know, Russia, China, Europe, Africa. And it's headed here real fast, and they've done their best to try to keep it out. And it's a swine flu plague. But if you'll trace the thing back, you will find that it doesn't stop with pigs. It goes through the humans too. So something bad, really bad. This is the worst thing that's ever come, I'm telling you. At any rate, I'll probably do a program on it, share some more with you about it. But at any rate, they're going to do everything they can do to destroy what God has made. But you know, it is not possible. The gates of hell will not prevail against the saints. It will prevail against the ain'ts, but it won't prevail against the saints. So you just count on that. This is not going to happen. And if anybody wants to escape it, they need to be a called out one, a saint, a sanctified one, right? And that's the way to escape it, okay? There are innocents who are young and don't know everything that they need to know, but they're looking. God knows that. He knows they're innocent. He can even take them to heaven if he wants to, because my people are destroyed for lack of understanding. And they definitely won't go in under condemnation, you know, but there's also the wicked out there who are not living the life that they proclaim. And they don't care. And God's going to take them out because he wants his people free of them. He's going to free up some people out there from this demonic bondage. He's going to set his people free. So we see here the Edomites, who they definitely had the stupid demons. In fact, I think I can show you that. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 7. This is interesting. Of Edom, thus saith the Lord. Now, when I say Edom here, I'm talking about the Edom that's in the church and the Edom that's in the government. That's the people who hate their brothers. Let me say that this left wing that's so full of hatred against the right wing that they would do anything to destroy it, they hate their brothers. They're supposed to be one government entity. And they hate their brothers. And now look what they've done. They've divided. They won't even let the right into the business that they're supposed to be doing. Who could ever think that they can get away with such a thing? Well, they won't. Of Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Yes, that's exactly right. There is no wisdom left. There's total stupidity. Is counsel perished from the prudent? Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. Is their wisdom vanished? And so suddenly, when they got involved in all that satanic worship and sacrificing of children and drinking blood of children, torturing children, and this thing's going around the world, folks. And they're catching them around the world. It's going down. Oh, praise be to God. This is a wonderful thing that's happening. Who'd have thunk it? Flee ye, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitant of Dedan. For I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him. The time that I shall, look, visit him. Okay, now I'm going to point something out to you as we go along, that there is a visitation of God coming. It's God in the man-child ministry. There's a visitation of God coming. And when God comes as a David man-child, like he did before, it's history repeating on a larger scale. When he comes, guess what they do? They conquer Edom. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all these left-wingers. That's all these liars. That's all these people that don't need any proof to believe anything they want to believe. And they've been stealing from us from the beginning, just like the faction in the church. They've been stealing from us. They've been destroying the truth everywhere they can, just like in the church. Now, I'm going to skip down through here and just read you a few things. Verse 10. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places. He shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is destroyed. His brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. Is not. Notice that. Wow, this is the complete destruction of Babylon that God spoke about. Not of America at whole, but of Babylon in America. It's an entity in America that is Babylon. Okay. I will uncover his secret places. Yes, they they know exactly what they've been doing. Nobody's ever had this much evidence against a people, except that the people are so arrogant and so have so much faith in their god, Satan, that this day would never come that they didn't even bother covering their tracks. And it's all in the hands of the government. And they're taking it to people like Elijah Cummings and, look, we got this on you. Now we can let you go with honors. And the president said some nice things about Elijah Cummings. None of them were true. He said these things about him. That was their agreement. I guarantee you this is what happened. This is what happened with John McCain, too, and some others. Okay. We'll let you go peacefully, and we will let you go with honor, or this is what we're going to put in front of the public, and you're going through a lengthy trial, and then you're going to be shot. So which would you take? Okay, well, he took it. I'm just telling you, that's what happened, and that's what's been happening, and it's going to happen some more. And they're after Nancy, and they'll get her too. I don't know if she's going to make a deal or not, but a lot of them are singing to high heaven. Comey is now, as you know, in the past. Remember when they divided the armies that came against them, they fought against one another. Now they're fighting against one another. Anything to save their own skin. There is no honor among thieves, liars, fornicators, etc. There is none of that. And they're singing to save their own skin. Obama did too. He will not be able to hide himself. It's all coming out. It's all coming out. His seed is destroyed, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. Verse 12, for thus saith the Lord, behold, they to whom it pertained not to drink of the cup shall assuredly drink. They do think that they will not partake of the cup. Why do you think they've been building those tunnels down there, you know, waiting for Planet X to come? They thought, we'll just let all the surface dwellers, you know, perish, but we'll be down here in our tunnel, committing our fornications and so on and so forth. But they shall assuredly drink, the Lord says. And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Well, they think so. From the beginning, they thought they would go unpunished. We could tell they were so arrogant. And they thought they were going to impeach me way back in 2011. Till I asked their leader, do you have a verse for what you're doing? And he looked at me with this stupid look on his face. And he didn't have a word to say. And the people stood up and overturned this thing. Yeah, the people did. And you know what? They tried that, and they're trying it with Trump, and they're going to fail too. Praise be to God. And shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink. For I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that Bozrah, which means sheepfold, it was the sheepfold of Edom, That's what it was. You know, they consider themselves sheep. Yeah, in the church they do. It ain't so. And that's why God destroyed them. Bozrah shall become an astonishment and a reproach and a waste and a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual waste. And who done it? God himself. Did he use David back in that day? Yes, he did. And he's going to use the David in this day. Because when the Lord says he's going to have a visitation, it was like the visitation of Jesus. Jesus came in a body of the son of David. And that's a type and a shadow. I'm not saying all the man-childs are Davids. You know, that's their literal name. I didn't say nothing like that. That's not true. That's literal, mixing the literal with the spiritual. No, I'm not bragging about nothing. I'm saying that the Lord has used me because my name is David and because he's given me a revelation of the man-child. And so he uses me like that in dreams and visions as a type of the man-child, okay? So, let's see. The word, there's all over the world, there's people that are getting ready to rise up against the New World Order. They're not going to stop it. I'm not even proclaiming that. I'm just saying we've been given a little bit of time for the church to do what Jesus did in the 3.5 years of his ministry. And that is in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, what Jesus did to raise up the church into its rightful form and rightful doctrine. You can't see that out there. Okay. But that's what's coming. And he's got people prepared to do this. And then he's going to anoint them to do this. And he's going to be in them to do this. So the Lord is coming. And he's coming in a man-child, just as he did before. Like he said he was going to do in John 16. He said he was going to do it again. That was, of course, after Jesus was born, a man-child, right? He said he was going to do it again. He was going to come again in a man-child born to a woman. John 16, read it. So he says to the nations, gather yourselves together, that's in verse 14, and come against her, and rise up to the battle. For behold, I have made thee small among the nations, and despised among men. You know, they were great. They were spread throughout every nation on the earth that we know of. And their criminal organization, their organized crime was throughout. And despised among men, for as thy terribleness, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. Yes, oh yes, that is so clear. The pride of their heart, thinking. I mean, if they do it, if they say it, it's right. It doesn't matter. They have no law, no conscience, nothing. Okay. And their pride, their great pride of who they are and what they've accomplished, you know. Treacherous, evil people. O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as an eagle, I will bring thee down from hence, says the Lord, and Edom shall become an astonishment. Everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. Now let me say, God's going to turn their own plagues back on them. Because the witches are in league with the Democratic Party and Republicans who were caught in their little honey trap, them too. That's why so many Republicans switch sides, you know, on this situation. But the plagues are going to come on these leftists. It don't matter whether they call themselves Republicans or not. These communists, this is communism that they're doing up there right now. They're a bunch of communists. They've invaded our government. We were warned about that. And everybody came against people that said anything like that. But this is it. No. You know, we have authority to say no. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's pretty thorough. And the neighbor cities thereof, says the Lord, no man shall dwell there, neither shall any son of man sojourn therein. Behold, you shall come up like a lion from the pride of the Jordan against the strong habitation, for I will suddenly make them run away from it. And whoso is chosen, him will I appoint. Who is going to run away from it? I'm telling you, they're going to be running. And they've done some running. They run to other countries to try to find some shelter. And in some cases, they got a no, like Nancy Pelosi. And so they came back home. Of course, Nancy Pelosi leaves town like that with a bunch of people every time they've got a plan to assassinate the president, because she wants to be out of town when that happens. But she's failed in both of those instances, two of them. First time, she took her whole family with her. And this time, she took a bunch of government creeps with her, you know, and they went to several nations. And they probably are the people that led the military to Bad Daddy. That's what I call him, Bad Daddy. Bad Daddy that blew up his kids. He's Bad Daddy. They went to visit there. And so they think that that's who led them to that. Well, we'll see. I don't know. That'll all come out in the wash sooner or later. But he'll make them run away from it. They're running. They've been running since the beginning. A lot of people left the country when Trump got in there. Did you know that? Went to other lands to make a government outside of the government. Yes, they did. And who is chosen, him will I appoint over it. Now, we know who that is. That's Trump. And, of course, on the religious side, it is the man-child, right? And for who is likened to me? And who will appoint me a time? And who is the shepherd? Notice we just read earlier that Cyrus was his shepherd. Even though he didn't know him, he was his shepherd. He was his shepherd in the political realm. You see what I'm talking about? So who is the shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely they shall drag them away, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate over them. Praise be to God. The whole earth will rejoice, right? The earth trembleth at the noise of their fall. Is that going to be an earthquake shaking there? Could be. You know, we've received that the man-child ministry is coming in the midst of a bunch of earthquakes. Could this be a part of their fall? Yes, indeed. And there is a cry, the noise whereof is heard in the Red Sea. Now, how in the world could it be heard in the Red Sea? This is Edom. God wants to put the two parables together. You know, he's going to take them down. The cry in the Red Sea was Pharaoh's people when they saw the waves were loosed, right? Okay. So this is exactly what's happening in the political realm and in the religious realm. Behold, he shall come. There it is. Remember when we started on this text back over here that it said, I shall visit him, talking about Esau's people, Edom. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle and spread out his wings against Bozrah. Excuse me. And the heart of the mighty men of Edom at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. That don't sound good. Sounds pretty bad. Okay, so let's go and look at this somewhere else. I just want to encourage you, you know, so you can keep on praying and believing. Don't believe what these people are saying out there. Yes, glory be to God. Okay, where am I going to start here? I'll start in Isaiah 62. And I'm going to go from verse, I guess verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth. Say ye to the daughter of Zion. Remember, Zion was being attacked in three of the scenarios that I pointed out to you. And that was their downfall, because Zion was holy. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. That's our Savior. That's the Lord. He is coming. And his reward is with him. But it goes on to say, and his recompense before him. Now, this is written in other places so that we can get the bigger picture. But the Lord is coming. And as we read on down, we'll see that he is coming against Edom. Well, let's just read that and then we'll come back here, okay? His recompense before him. What is his recompense? Well, he's getting ready to tell you here. And this reward, let me tell you about this reward. This is the reward for the bride. He's bringing the reward of the bride. You know, right after Esther was chosen, they had Esther's feast, a great big feast. And her first reward was she got to live in the big house, the king's house. That's right. And then she had all that resources. And even the king said, hey, I'll give you half my kingdom. So, and he, of course, these are the people that are joint heirs with Christ. Did you know that? Did you know that we are all been given that promise, but not everybody's going to inherit that promise? The bride is going to inherit that promise, a joint heir with Christ. Okay. So his reward is with him. That's for the bride. His recompense is before him. That's for the Edomites. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. That's Jerusalem, the bride. Okay. Okay, so now he says, who is this that cometh up from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Bozrah is the Edomite sheepfold. Who is this that comes up from Edom with these dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. Look, he didn't have any help. Just like in our scenarios, he had no help, right? There was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I've talked to you about 2 days of vengeance. One of them is the timing of the crucifixion of the man, child, and bride, and one of them is the timing of the church going through the exact same thing we've gone through, and ending up with the great and terrible day of the Lord to take out the apostates and to take out the beasts, right? Amen. So there's a mini repeat in the beginning of the tribulation, because remember, the dragon is trying to devour the man-child. And then he tries to devour the woman. And then he tries to go after her seed. You know, the woman's seed, by the way, Jesus was the man, the bride. I mean, excuse me, he was the groom. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, John the Baptist said. So those first fruits, people that gathered around Jesus, that was the bride. And they were the ones who went out to put the seed out that brought the woman into the kingdom, you see. So I'm just pointing this out. I'm going to come back here and go back to this part about the Lord coming, his reward is with him, and his recompense is before him. We'll come back to that. But I'm going to look right here in this same area. and look at a few things first. Now, number one, here you got the Lord coming and destroying Edom, when we know in Scripture it was David that destroyed Edom. Well, who is Jesus? The son of David. And there's a son of David in our day too, a corporate body called the son of David, who, by the way, have Jesus living in them by his word and by his spirit, and are soon to be anointed to do this job right here we're talking about. It's right here. This is what we're talking about. So awesome, Lord. Your plan is just so awesome. It's a beautiful picture, too. So I'm going to skip over in this same chapter where he's talking about the destruction of Edom. I'm going to go over here to verse 11. Then he remembered the days of old when Moses and his... Oh, what? He's applying it again to the Red Sea. Look at that. And we've been talking about the Red Sea coming. You know who's going down in the Red Sea? The army that's chasing God's people. Yeah. Then he remembered the days of old, and Moses and his people, saying, "Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock?" There's the man-child going into the wilderness, the man-child Moses going into the wilderness, and the people were with him. They're with him. Now, unless there is a great strike upon apostate Christianity, the people are not going to be with the man-child. They've got to be freed from this system. And that's what the beast is going to do. The beast in Moses' day did that, separated the people from their people. All right. Then they went out to rule over them, and God wouldn't permit it. Just like in those three scenarios I pointed out to you, or four scenarios I pointed out to you. God wouldn't permit it. The scepter of the wicked will not rest on the lot of the righteous. The Bible says that. You can count on it. Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them, that caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses? Who is the arm of the Lord? Jesus, right? That divided the waters before them, to make himself an everlasting name. Wow. And he's applying this to the destruction of Edom, for goodness sake. Come on. Look. That led them through the depths as a horse in the wilderness, so that they stumbled not as the cattle that go down into the valley. The Spirit of the Lord caused them to rest. So did thou lead them, thy people, to make thyself a glorious name. Okay. Now I'm going to go a little bit further over and look at verse 16. For thou art our father, though Abraham knoweth us not, and Israel doth not acknowledge us. Who is that? That's the church. Yeah. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer, and everlasting is thy name. So, you know what? He's again, look at the context here, you see. The church is going through the same thing, going through its Red Sea. You know, their Edomites are getting destroyed by the Lord, who is David, by the way, the man-child, and the coming of the Lord. That's the anointed man-child. That's that anointed reformer ministry that God has all over the earth that's about to receive that great anointing. Look, no man can claim what God does. Look at Moses. He didn't think much of himself. He told the Lord, "I can't do this, Lord. I can't even talk. You give me somebody." You know? See, but God's anointing did that, you see. He couldn't claim any of that. And so it will be with the man-child of our day. This is nothing to brag about. Nobody's got anything to brag about. God does what he wants to do with who he wants to do it. So, verse 18, thy holy people possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. Yep, the church is full of wicked people. Babylon was full by demons, Revelation 18 says. And it is so today. And it's a member of the body of larger Babylon. Religious Babylon and larger political Babylon are the same dragon. We are become as they over whom thou never bearest rule, as they that were not called by thy name. Well, that is so true. People start out with all kinds of eagerness, having received the Spirit of Christ. They don't generally go on to receive the Holy Spirit because the wicked leadership talks them out of it. Okay. So they go astray with their false teachings, and these people are guilty, and God is going to do something about it. Remember, back in Ezekiel 34, God was against the shepherds that had plundered his flock. And that's when he brought David to rule. He was against the shepherds. Okay. Now, 64 and 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and that thou wouldest come down, and that the mountains might quake at thy presence. There it is again. Well, you'll find that pretty common, the coming of the Lord and the mountains quaking, or earthquakes, right? As when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causes the waters to boil. To make thy name known to thine adversaries. Look at this. To make thy name known to thine adversaries. They're going to know who is the real God. They've been bowing to Satan, and they know it, and they admit it. That the nations may tremble at thy presence. The nations, that's a big thing. The nations may tremble at thy presence. There's only one thing I know of that's really been told to us and showed to us, it's going to shake the whole earth. And that is the coming of Planet X. Yeah. Thy presence. There's his presence again. And who is it? Well, we just discovered. It's Jesus in the Davids. Right? When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for. No, everybody's looking for President Trump to do something. And everybody's hollering, do something, do something. You know, put all this stuff out there. Don't let Nancy do this to us. Don't worry, it's all going to be put out there. You know. But you see, God's holding his hand. And don't think that we know more than he knows. He knows stuff we don't know. God knows everything. But also Trump knows a lot of stuff we don't know. And he's pretty good at doing what he's doing because God's holding his hand. Yeah. And by the way, he'd be dead a long time ago if that wasn't so. So keep on praying. You have to keep him alive. You have to keep him from being impeached. Yes. And, you know, God has a means to an end. Some people say, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. No, God has a means to an end. He wants the saints to pray and to believe God and to learn warfare against enemies. See, this is going to be very useful in the days to come when we're trying to teach the church how to fight against these same enemies. Okay? Thou camest down, the mountains quaked at thy presence. And from of old men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen a God besides thee who worketh for him that waiteth for him. God's going to work for us. We're waiting on him. We're trusting in him. Don't put your trust in Trump. Trump's just a vessel. Right? God has vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor, vessels to do anything he wants to do. But they're just vessels. That's all. This is God, God's hand. He has decided to do this at this time. He's decided to rebuild the church, to bring them out of Babylon, and to rebuild the kingdom of God, including Zion, the bride. Okay, he has decided to do this. And he's going to give the help of Cyrus, to the bride to rebuild. Okay. So now let's go back and talk a little bit about where we were. And that was in 62. Behold, thy salvation cometh. That's the Lord. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And we're going to look at Isaiah 40. And, well, we'll at least look at verse 10. Okay. Let me see. Isaiah 40. I think I'm going to read 9 through 11. O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, get thee up on a high mountain. In other words, tell the people of God the good news. I'm telling you some good news today. O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up thine voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come. There it is, the visitation. Remember, the visitation included Cyrus, right? He was part of this visitation. As a mighty one, and his arm will rule for him. That's Jesus. He's going to rule all through this thing. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. So he's pretty well identified this situation, right? In fact, all these verses, chapters in here, I would say from 40 through 44, 45, speak about Cyrus, right? His recompense before him, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and will gently lead those that have their young. How neat. And just for making my point, 41 and 2 says, who hath raised up one from the east, whom he calleth in righteousness, to his foot? He giveth nations before him, and maketh him rule over kings. He giveth them as the dust to his sword, as the driven stubble to his bow. He pursueth them and passeth on safely. You see, it doesn't look like he's safe. I mean, they've shot missiles at his, you know, Air Force One. They've done everything they could to try to kill the man. And they just don't understand why their God is not answering them. They're sacrificing all these people, which is what their God demands, that they sacrifice men, children. I mean, they start all these wars to make sacrifices to their God, Satan. And now they're sacrificing babies. They torment the babies to get that, you know, product that they want when they're tormented and in fear, so that they can drink it. I forget the name of it. But anyway, this, they get a high off of this. It's addicting, by the way. Yeah. And so they do this to do what? They do this to have the power of Satan. And it's not working. Let you know there's something a little bit wrong with their theology there, right? Okay, I'm going to go back to, let's see, I think we'll go to Isaiah 59. And I'm going to start with 15. Isaiah 59:15. Yea, truth is lacking, and he that departeth from evil makes himself a prey. You just stick up for truth and righteousness and see what happens, you know. The whole world will come against you. The media will come against you. They'll cut you off the media and everything. I mean, everybody's going to come against you. You stick up for somebody to defend them. I never gotten in more trouble than when I tried to defend somebody that needed to be defended. That's when I got in trouble. And the Lord saw it, And it displeased him that there was no justice. That's our day, folks. That is our day right there, clear as a bell. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation unto him. And we know that's Jesus. Jesus is coming to do a thing here. And his righteousness, it upheld him. But he's going to come in a time when it doesn't appear that man has the upper hand. You understand that? So we know what he's been doing, and we know that he is conquering them, but there's something bad coming, as I've told you. But they're not going to live through this thing. I'm talking about the apostates that are ruling over God's people, keeping them in bondage to the dragon. You know, yes, that's the dragon. We've had revelations about the dragon. The great revival down there in Pensacola that they called a revival, and I knew was not. I went in there and saw spirits being imparted to people by these so-called leaders, you know. And they put that garbage all over the nation, that false revival garbage. It was a bunch of demons, Eastern religious demons. And it was in a place not far from me, Brownsville. And I knew a woman that went there. She was highly respected there. And she used to have good dreams and so on and so forth. One day she had a dream. And in the dream, she was in the revival, as they called it. And she looked up and stretched out over the whole roof of the building was a dragon. And she told it to me. And she said, I believe the dragon is attacking our revival. I said, the dragon is your revival. It's the truth. Because apostate preachers, they work for the dragon. They don't work for the church. They're a member of the dragon. They're not a member of the church. They're here to deceive. Remember the tail of the dragon draws a third of the saints to the earth, to the earthly, right? The prophet that speaketh lies, he is the tail. They're a member of the dragon. Okay, so his righteousness, it upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a mantle. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Oh my goodness, that puts a lot of people in trouble. Some of the leaders of Christianity have been into perversion for a long time. And they've been into many evil things for a long time. They are not what they appear to be. And according to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and to the islands, he will repay recompense. His recompense is before him. And I do believe we're going to see earthquakes start. And somewhere in the midst of that, the Lord is going to come. And somewhere in the midst of the left wing doing their thing, God's going to come. And he's going to sink their boat. There's going to be red seas running all over the place. He's going to sink their boat. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. This is how far this manifestation of his glory and the revelation of what he's done at the Red Sea is going to happen. Remember, the nations heard what happened at the Red Sea. They feared those Israelites because they knew their God was God. Now, the Satanists are going to get the revelation according to what we just read a while ago. The Satanists and the witches are going to get the revelation. Whether they can do anything about it or not, nobody knows. I mean, but God. But they're going to get the revelation that their God is not stronger than our God. He will come as a rushing stream, which the breath of the Spirit driveth. Breath, of course, is the same word for spirit, right? And a redeemer will come to Zion. Where are they coming? To Zion. The presence of the Lord was in Zion, the bride. The presence of the Lord. Remember the northern 10 tribes? They went into total apostasy, made preachers that were not ordained, which they have. Worshiped the golden calf, which they called the Lord, right? Unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, he and a redeemer will come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them. That's those that turn from transgression in Jacob, in Zion, right? Says the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, which is these people, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, which is the ones that they convert, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So here he comes. Here comes the Redeemer to Zion. What do you remember he did? Well, he wiped out Edom. Okay. And now he says, 16:1, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Has it ever? I have never seen anything like this, and neither have you. And gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the nations shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. And that is Zion, the bride. He's talking about the bride. She is now receiving her reward. Remember, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Yes. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to thee. And thy son shall come from far. Thy daughter shall be carried in the arms. This is the sons and daughters of Zion coming to her. Like the multitudes came to those apostles to listen to what they had to say when Jesus sent them out, you know, to bring the gospel. Bring them into the light of the gospel, the light of the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. He sent them out. They came by the multitudes. Then thou shalt see and be radiant. Thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea. Remember, the sea is the tribes, multitudes, nations, and tongues, right? Shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. Yes, that too. Great wealth is coming into the hands of the bride. And it's for the purpose of preserving God's people and building the kingdom. You remember the first fruits who came out of Babylon to went back to rebuild the kingdom? Cyrus put a whole bunch of money in their hands to do that. Yeah. The nations shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. Yea, dromedaries, Median, and Ephah, and all the sheep. And they'll bring their gold and frankincense. And all that. So, let me see. And the whole rest of this is all about the reward that is given to the bride, Zion. Joint heir. Everything that they pray for, they will receive. Every need that they have to raise up the people of God as building blocks for his temple, they will receive. Everything that they need. Everything that they need. Well, I guess I'll just read a little bit more of this. It's a pretty nice good news. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. Flocks of sheep, right? Rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee too, yes. They shall come up with acceptance upon mine altar. I will glorify the house of my glory. Yes, this is the building of the kingdom. This is the great revival that happened when Jesus and the bride went forth to bring out the good news. This was that revival in our day, multiplied. Because this one's going to be all over the world. I will glorify the house of my glory. Mm-hmm. That's the people, not buildings. That's the people. The house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as doves to their windows? We had a dream like this about this. Surely the isles shall wait for me and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them. Yep, that's all for the purpose of building the kingdom, right? For the name of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. This is the reward. Notice, he comes with the reward. This is the reward. Jesus is in the midst. Jesus is in the man-child in the midst of the bride. Just like David was in the midst of the bride, Jerusalem, and he was anointed, which means of the Holy Spirit, right? The Lord was upon him. And so God's just repeating that parable of the kingdom, but in real life, right? And foreigners shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy upon thee. What is this smoting? Well, Jesus was crucified. The man-child crucified. The bride is somewhat crucified. All this crucifixion was God's smiting of the old man so that the fruit could flow forth, right? Kind of like crushing a flower, right? You don't smell it till it's crushed, in a way. I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Thy gates also shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the nations. There it is again. And their kings led captive. God is going to lead captive many kings, many people who were somebody in the world, are going to become or come into the kingdom. For that nation and that kingdom that will not serve thee, that's the bride, shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of, notice all this, this is God's victory in the midst of what people tremble about is the tribulation. But why is all that judgment coming in the tribulation? Who brought all that judgment in Moses' day when he went through the wilderness? Who brought it? God. And another snapshot. When he wanted to bring God's people out of Egypt as a type of the world, Moses brought all those judgments upon Egypt. Moses, the man-child, brought all those judgments upon Egypt in order to deliver God's people out of Egypt and out of spiritually the world. Then you got another snapshot in the wilderness, okay? And also got another one in the promised land, right? The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Oh, praise you, Father. And the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. That's those that lived through that situation. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. That's the bride. Now, you know, for those of you that think the bride is the whole church, let me just point out to you, that's never been true in Scripture. read Esther, read Psalm 45, read Song of Solomon. Just look at the parable of God's people being all these cities in the land of Israel, and one city that his presence was manifested in, which was Zion. That was the city that he said he loved, that he was going to build his house in. And when he comes, he's coming to Zion, just like he did when they anointed the presence of God in the temple. Yes. For as thou hast been forsaken and hated, that is Zion. Remember, they fell into apostasy. They were taken into bondage to Babylon. And only after they cried out to God did they get delivered of that and return to rebuild the kingdom. So that no man pass through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the nations, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. People are going to know. Everybody that is elect of God is going to know that he is the mighty God. And I'm telling you, a lot of people are going to come out of Satanism, witchcraft of all kinds, every kind of fornication, every kind of sin whatsoever, and turn to the Lord. Because they're going to see the favor on God's people. And when the nations saw what God did at the Red Sea, the nations feared the people of God, and they feared the God of Israel, who is the church today. They feared him. Once again, that fear is going to return. I remember when the world had that kind of fear around the people of God. I remember that. That's been lost because of the false leaders in the church leading the church astray so that it doesn't even reflect the mightiness of the early church, the holiness of the early church, the power, the boldness of the early church. And he says, for brass, I will bring gold. Well, that's a pretty good return on your investment. And for iron, I will bring silver. Another really good return. And for wood, brass. And for stones, iron. Well, the Lord is going to make his people rich to be able not to live high off the hog, but to meet the needs of the people, right? I will also make thy officers peace and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. Yes, the violence is there because of the Edomites. But you see, God's got a plan. He's going to take them down. Desolation nor destruction within thy borders. So, guess what? The bride is not under any threat. Look at all the scenarios we're talking about. Three of them distinctly pointed out that the bride was the last one they were trying to conquer, and they were destroyed by doing it. He said, the nation that doesn't serve thee, I will destroy. He did it in all those instances, and now he's going to do the same thing. You want to escape the things that the church is going to go through? Be in the bride. Be holy. Be righteous. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation. That's because when you pass through those walls, those thick, high walls, that's what it represented, salvation from the enemy. Whenever an enemy invaded, the peoples rushed into Zion. Many of them, whoever could make it, rushed into Zion. And they thought that was where salvation was, right? And thy gates praise. I'm telling you, they praise the Lord once they pass those gates, right? The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord will be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. See, some people walk by sight because they don't know anything else. But when you know the Lord, he gives light that the sun can't give. He tells you what's hidden in the darkness. He shows it to you. He shows it to you clearly. All of our battle against the faction, all the way up until this time, he has given us dreams and visions and revelations of exactly what they planned to do. And they don't understand why all of their plans fail. That's because God told us what they planned to do, and we prayed against it. Yeah. And they think they can hide it. But they can't hide it from God. And all this time, too, they think it's a victory when they destroy someone's life and prove that they were not a part of the bride. It is a victory. It's a victory for the bride because she's being sanctified. You see, the power can't come until the sanctification comes, and the sanctification don't come until the wicked are extricated from the bride, have come out, right? Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. In other words, all that you went through, bride, at the hands of the wicked all around you, and I'm talking to a bunch of people out there. The bride is a worldwide body. So I'm talking to a bunch of people out there. They're not as many as the church by far. But, you know, for instance, the Philadelphia church represented the bride. That was just one of the seven churches. They represented the bride. And so the days of their mourning is going to be over. Thy people also shall be all righteous. Talking about the bride. He's not talking about the church. He's still talking about the bride. Shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The little one shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. Well, the man child is going to be a follower of a multitude, just like Abraham, the father of a multitude. The little one will become many. And there are going to be many Abrahams out there who are going to be fathers of a multitude. Many. Now, I'm not talking about fathering people into dead religion and false doctrine and all these things. If you want to do that, the Pope would be the best, man. He's converted the largest part of people and still calls it Christianity. So... I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. And then what happens? How's he going to do that? Isaiah 61. How cool. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus said. Yep, Jesus preached this sermon right here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Here's where the revival starts, folks, right here. Notice what's going to bring to pass all of this that we see talked about the bride is because when he comes, his reward is with him. Isaiah 60 is his reward. He's bringing the reward to the bride. And he's bringing destruction to the Edomites, whether they're in the government or whether they're in the media or whether they're in the churches or wherever, he's going to bring destruction to the Edomites. And a great revival. He's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. Amen. and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Many, many of God's people are in prisons of their own making, of their own sins, of the nature that was passed on to them from their parents, so on and so forth. Yes, there are many in bondage. And the Lord, of course, has delivered us out of the power of darkness. But and those who walk by faith will find that they're delivered and that they can be in this bride. The larger part of God's people don't believe that that's a possibility, that you can come into the image of Jesus. They don't believe that's a possibility. They believe that they've been told by the liars that they just have to settle for forgiveness because they can never be like Jesus. They're always going to be a sinner saved by grace. So these liars were never sent by God. He's going to remove them. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I tell you, if Jesus didn't proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, nobody did. He went out there and forgave the unforgivable and healed the wicked among God's people. He healed. He delivered. He preached the good news of the gospel. It was a time of grace, which is favor, right? The year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, because he's coming to take out the Edomites too. See? To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them a garland for ashes. Yes, they've been through mourning. They've been through crucifixion. David and the people of Zion, the man child and the bride, they've gone through persecution, hatred by the hands of the wicked. They've seen their brethren destroyed because they didn't stand up to the testings and the trials of faction and witchcraft and their mourning. But he's going to give them the garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. One thing he keeps repeating about the bride is the joy that the bride's about to have. How awesome. What a great thing God's going to do for his people. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Great praise is going to be in the midst of God's people, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. Okay, now we're still talking about this reward. The man-child's coming with a reward. He's going to meet all of the needs of the bride. He's going to make them rich in this present world for a purpose. And as many of them as understand that, that's a good thing, because then they'll be vessels of God's glory to meet the needs of the brethren, right? But he is going to bless them mightily. He is going to show who is who. See, two things are going to happen relatively during the same time period. The Edomites are going to get judged, and the bride's going to get a reward. Then the people are going to know who it was that was godly. Return, return, O Shulamite, that we may look upon thee. They're going to know who was godly and who was wicked. Oh, thank you, Father. And this is so he may be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. What is this? The places that were wasted by Babylon. Babylon destroyed Israel and Zion because of the apostasy. And the people were taken captivity into captivity. And when they cried to the Lord and repented, the Lord brought them back. At least the first fruits came back with a leadership that represents the man child. They came back to rebuild what was now waste. They shall raise up the former desolations This is this rebuilding that Cyrus is going to enable. And they shall repair the waste cities, the most important of which is the bride, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. That's for the bride. Strangers will stand and feed your flocks. And foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Yes, these people are not going to work for a living. They've got something much more important to do. Yes, they have the word of the Lord that needs to get out. That's what they're going to do. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. And you shall eat the wealth of the nations. I don't know how many times he has to say this through here, but he's certainly done it. And in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. This is the reward that the Lord is bringing with him into the midst of Zion the bride, right? And instead of your shame, which they had all the time they were falsely accused, treated shamefully by their brethren, the Edomites, persecuted, crucified, so on and so forth. Yes, instead of your shame, you shall have double. That's that double portion, right? Given to the first fruits, right? And instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Amen. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. There it is. You mean everlasting joy? You mean all the way through the tribulation? Yeah. Joy? Yeah. For I, the Lord, love justice. Okay, we've been looking for justice in the government and in the church. We've been looking for justice. There's been a lot of injustice. There's a lot of rampant wickedness has been out there to crucify the righteous. But the Lord loves justice, and when he gets ready to do that, look out, wicked. Listen, communism and socialism is just organized crime. Go into the socialistic cities of the leftists and look at the destruction that they have brought upon those people. And look at the prices that they pay for everything. You know, they're rat infested, diseased, hobos everywhere, etc., etc. Judgment. The Lord says he loves justice. I hate robbery. Now, this is what the left wing Democrats have done in every opportunity. They have plundered the people of America and the people of the world, just like we're seeing coming out all the time. They use every opportunity to steal from the people. And in our case, it was the same situation. They stole. I didn't worry about it. I felt the confidence of the Lord the whole time that God was going to, because we did what we did right, that God was going to restore it multiplied many times over. And I shared with you recently what the Lord appeared to me and gave me for the sake of his people. I hate robbery with iniquity, and I will give them their recompense in truth. His recompense is going to be before him, right? And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. Yep, they're going to know who it is. I mean, why did they call the Christians Christians back then, you know? It was because they walked and talked and did what Jesus did. Their offspring shall among the peoples, and all that see them shall acknowledge that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Amen. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with a garland, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth its bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Well, look what's happened to the economy. Some people are looking and saying, oh, yeah, but this is what's about to happen, and that's what's about to happen. Well, I can tell you what's coming behind it. Total prosperity for the bride and those who are submitted to them. Do you know that the chain of command was the man-child, Jesus, who inherited the throne of David, right? Down to Zion, who was over the 12 tribes. And this is what's being rebuilt. That's the chain of command. And it's going to spring forth before all nations. And the Lord is the one that's doing it, and he's not going to let anything hinder him. Nothing. Don't think it can happen. It can't happen. See 62:1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her righteousness goeth forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burneth. This is God's plan. Here's the light in the darkness. Here is the people that know the Lord, like those first disciples who went forth and knew the real Lord, not like disciples learn nowadays, but they knew the real Lord. They were confident in their God. They were confident that he was behind the words that they spoke. And when they laid hands on people, they saw miracles. They were confident in their God. And the rest of Israel looked on. They just looked on. And as people got converted, they did the same thing. They called them Christians too, because they were just like Jesus. And you, Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father, right? Oh, hallelujah. And the nations shall see thy righteousness. The nations, that's the Gentiles, same word for Gentiles. And all kings, thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Yeah. Thou shalt also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Yep, this is the bride at the presence of Jesus. You know the presence of Jesus is coming to do all these things. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's right. And these people are going to have glory from God. And thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Yes, now they can call it forsaken, but not for long. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, which is the word, my delight is in her. In thy land, Beulah, which is the word that means married. For the Lord delighteth in thee. Now notice, who is married to the king here? Married, Beulah, married. It's the bride, Zion. That's the bride. That's not the whole body. The whole body was all of Israel. But Zion was the bride. In thy land, Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons. Now you want to know, who are these sons? These are the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God, thy sons, marry thee. The sons are going to go forth. The sons of God, the first manifestation of the sons of God, are going to go forth and raise up a body called the bride to raise up a body called the church. And the church is the called out ones, not the religions of Christianity. They're the called out ones of the religions of Christianity. As the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. How awesome. And I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. They shall not hold their peace day nor night. Ye that are the Lord's remembrancers, take ye no rest, and give him no rest until he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The bride is going to be a praise in the earth. And what power and what provision have we noticed here that God's going to give to the bride? Holiness, purity, truth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy grain to be food for thine enemies. And foreigners shall not drink thy new wine for which thou hast labored. But they that have garnered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have gathered it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Oh, praise be to God. Well, that's a good story. So don't fear about this impeachment. I'm telling you, the impeachers will be impeached. Thank you so much, Father. We believe it. We stand on your word, Lord. We praise you for your victory that you've given unto your people, O God. We love you so much. We thank you for the victory, Lord. It's by grace, Lord. It's only your grace and your mercy that these things are going to come and come quickly. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again sometime. Good night.